You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 507.
On Flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you. Might be sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi. How are you, Kevin?
Good. I'm freezing. It's a crazy cold morning.
So cold. Yes. Single digits cold.
It's very cold. It's Saturday morning. Another rare Saturday morning recording session for us. Got your cereal going, your Cookie Crisp, your Count Chocula.
I mixed them. They're delicious together.
Just dump it all in together. Why not? And let's see what happens. We're doing a list today. Top 4.5 list. This is our first 4.5 list of the year, I assume.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember doing any others before now in 2022.
How could it not be? So we will be listing something soon. First, however, we're going to try to keep this short as well because I got to get this show out like tomorrow.
Yep.
So let's go, Cornflake. What are we doing? National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Well, we have this week on January 24th, National Compliment Day, a day to make each other feel good about things.
Ah, okay.
But you know, Kevin, well, I'm sure you know this about me. I am not the queen of social graces. And so I have to be careful when I give compliments because sometimes they come out the wrong way. You know what I mean?
Is it a backhanded compliment?
Well, some of them are backhanded, but I don't know. I don't have enough of a mean streak to give a backhanded compliment and mean to do it. It's more like things like, you have news anchor eyebrows.
I don't know what that means.
My compliments are not backhanded. They're just weird. And sometimes I don't even realize how weird they are when they say them. It makes all the sense in the world that I'm saying something nice, but
that sure was a weird one you used as an example. What's a newscaster eyebrow? I've never heard of that.
Well, newscaster eyebrows always look good. They're always on point. They're very expressive. I think that that's a good thing.
All right. I guess I don't watch the news. I was not aware of this. How about if you just spend the whole day specifically all backhanded compliments, just to make it more interesting, you know? Who needs a compliment when you can have a backhanded compliment? I got to say, you really look slightly less hideous than you did yesterday. You know, yeah. Try that. Try that one on somebody tomorrow.
Your singing is getting so much better.
I had zero confidence in your ability to almost hit a note once in a while, but you know, you practically did it this time. I'm impressed.
It's going to surprise you, Kevin, but I've actually gotten that compliment a lot in my times of singing.
There are people I find even more repulsive, you know? They're out there. Yeah, I mean, it's not like we had a lot of friends anyway, so we might as well just dive in for a backhanded compliment day.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, scratch those last few remaining names off the list. I like it.
It's true.
Backhanded compliments only. That's the plan for this year. All right, let's do that.
I love when we can warp a good National Whatever Day.
We ruined everything once again. Good job.
Yes.
All right, let's make a list of all the things we've done wrong this early in the new year. No, it's top 4.5 list time. Let's do the first top 4.5 list of 2022.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1.5?
The top 4.5 list.
And this was, I put this out to you, right? I asked you for a list idea.
Some ideas, yes.
And you came through immediately.
I came through with one idea.
What are we doing this week?
We're doing a top 4.5 ice list, Kevin.
Ice. That's appropriate. That's very appropriate today, because as we mentioned, yikes, it's cold.
Yeah, it's hard to think about anything but ice nowadays. So I don't know if you call this idea inspired, but I thought we could have some fun with this, and where I thought I was going to have limited running room on what might be interesting to go on this list, I realized when I was done with it that there was so much more I could have added. And so I'm kind of hoping you come through on some of the things that I couldn't cram into my list. We'll see.
I don't know. At first I thought, oh, there must be a million things to put on an ice list. And I'm sure there are. But I think my mistake was I carved out about 3 minutes to prepare my list.
Whoops.
And so, so I'm sure I probably missed a lot of really good ones. My list is pretty stupid, but, you know, fine. That's on brand for the Flopcast. Let's just dive into this ice list as suggested by Cornflake. Let's go, Cornflake. What is at number 4?
Do you know the old expression, you got to break the ice to get a conversation started? Well, more important than the icebreaker, and at number 4 for me, is coming from my favorite comedian, James Acaster. It is important when you are done to unbreak the ice, because you don't want somebody else sweeping in, taking advantage of all those lovely little ice cubes you've created. So you've got to freeze it over again before you go. James Acaster himself suggests as you're leaving to say something to the effect of, death comes to us all, and then walk away.
Break the ice, get in, but then ruin everything as you leave.
Yes, unbreak the ice.
Right. Say something awful and disastrous so that this pleasant moment shall not continue.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it. Number 4, unbreak the ice. Nice and simple.
Yes.
Perhaps helping to explain why, as we mentioned, we have no friends.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 on my ice list. Let's see. Well, I thought I'd start with the band Ice House. Remember Ice House?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Ice House from the 80s, you know?
I didn't remember them till you mentioned them, but now I do.
Sure. Well, Ice House, an Australian band, and not super well known in America, but actually quite popular in Australia. I've learned a little more about Ice House, though, just in the last couple of years. I heard their leader, Ivor Davis. I don't remember how you pronounce it, but he was a guest on the Hustle podcast, which I'm a fan of. And they just came up this past week on another favorite podcast of mine, another music show, Hit Parade. The latest episode of Hit Parade is about Hall & Oates.
Cool.
It's great, you know. Check out the Hit Parade, everybody. The latest episode is all about our favorites, Daryl Hall and John Oates. And remember when Ice House had their moment in America, which was like 1987, 1988, and they had just a couple of hits over here. There's one called Crazy, and then there was one, their big hit, top 10 hit, was Electric Blue.
Yes.
And I either never knew or I forgot that Electric Blue, co-written by John Oates.
I never knew that.
Because that was when Hall & Oates were kind of on a break. They took a little hiatus from working together, and that's when Daryl Hall did his solo stuff, you know, Dreamtime and all that. And John, yeah, co-wrote with Iva from Ice House, co-wrote Electric Blue.
That is so awesome. I appreciate that song even more now.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to look into Ice House more, because I only know those two songs. And a few people have recommended check out more Ice House, especially their pre-Electric Blue records from the early to mid-80s. Apparently there's some great, great music, and it's kind of new wave and synth pop kind of stuff, you know, which I love. So I really do have to dive back into the Ice House catalog one of these days. But I think we've mentioned also that I've seen Ice House live. The opening band on the Cars final tour back in the 80s was Ice House.
You must have mentioned that, and it just slipped right by me.
Yeah, when I went to see the Cars in 1987, and I'd never even heard of Ice House at this point. This was before they really started getting any play at all on the radio in America. But they were cool. They were good. Sounded great at the Providence Civic Center down in Providence, Rhode Island. Yeah, I got to experience live Ice House, and that's an Australian band that I've been meaning to get into even more. So one of these days, Cornflake, we should listen to more Ice House.
Well, they come out of Australia, so I agree.
I mean, they're no Air Supply, but as Australian bands go, they're still quite good.
Right. You can't expect everybody to live up to Air Supply.
Not for you and me.
You will be disappointed in life if you expect everybody to live up to Air Supply. That's what I always say.
Always. That's why we're so miserable. Cornflake, what do you have for number 3?
As you know, Kevin, I'm rewatching all of the Karate Kid movies before digging into Cobra Kai season 4. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going, and I love it. Yes.
This had to be on the list. In Karate Kid 2, there's this scene with Daniel breaking the four ice blocks in that weird, I think it's like a bar or something.
Yeah.
So at number three, I have Karate Kid with the ice block scene in Karate Kid 2. But then, of course, there's season 2 of Cobra Kai, right? You know, yep. The callback to Karate Kid 2.
Yes.
Where Daniel is trying to recreate that moment to make Miyagi-Do cool at the Valley Carnival. But it doesn't turn out the way that he planned.
Right, right. That's fantastic. I totally forgot the Karate Kid Part 2 ice-breaking scene. Was that a bar? I forgot that it happened in a bar.
It seems like a... Nobody is drinking, but it seems like a bar.
In Okinawa, you go to a bar, nobody's drinking. Everybody is smashing blocks of ice. And I believe that's in the music video as well, right? If you want to see the ice-breaking moment, I think if you just cue up Peter Cetera, Glory of Love, you can see Daniel smash those blocks of ice. Because they really show the whole movie in that video.
It's true.
I mean, everything. The very final fight finale of the movie is in the video. Everything's in the video.
When you sit down and watch the whole of Karate Kid 2, it's not exactly a fast-paced movie. But I still like it a lot. It still holds up.
Peter Cetera trimmed it down to a tight 3 minutes, including, yeah, let's break all the ice in this ice-breaking only alcohol-free Okinawa bar. Excellent. Here's a weird one for number three. When I started thinking about ice for this list, for some reason, one thing that came to mind was ice boats. Do you know ice boats?
You got to tell me more here. I'm not sure.
It's like a thing with a sail, like a sailboat, but you take it out on the ice and you go zipping along on ice.
What?
On a boat. Yeah. You don't really see them around, but this is a thing that exists. It's like a light kind of a frame, and it has like runners, like a sled, and a sail, like a sailboat.
This sounds awesome.
This might be your new thing, Cornflake. Get yourself an ice boat. I want to see Cornflake out on the ice. Yeah, ice boats. I'm not even sure if I've ever seen an ice boat anywhere live in person. Maybe not. The first place I ever learned of such a thing was the Hardy Boys Cornflake.
This is all I want to do now that you're talking about it. It's all I want to do with my life.
Hardy Boys was my introduction to the world of ice boats. And I guess that's where it started and ended. Because I've barely seen or heard of them since. But yeah, I looked it up today. There's a Hardy Boys book, Mystery of Cabin Island. Old Hardy Boys story. And in that story, yeah, the boys go out on the ice with their ice boat.
Wow.
And then I think they even get in some kind of a fight. Like there's some bad guys out on the ice and all in their own, you know, evil ice boat.
Evil ice boats. I want to do this so bad now, Kevin.
Do it. Just buy an ice boat. Just go online and buy an ice boat right now. I want you to do zero research. And I don't care what it costs. I would like you to make an immediate impulsive purchase of an ice boat right now. Go out sailing and report back to us, assuming you survive, which you probably won't.
Right. I do see some ways that this could go horribly wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I am so intrigued that I just may abandon all concern and check this out because it sounds like the best time ever.
It's great. And at least on some versions of the book, there's ice boats right on the cover of the Hardy Boys Mystery of Cabin Island book. You can see the kids in their stupid ice boat. So add that to the list. When you and I get together for real in person sometime, we'll do a little ice boating.
Yes.
And we'll die. Cornflake, what do you have at number two?
I've got a classic, Kevin. First hitting the airwaves in 1987 on ABC, the magical Jim Henson special that saw the worlds of Sesame Street, Fraggle Rock, and the Muppets collide in a heartwarming holiday extravaganza that is a must-watch for me each and every year, A Muppet Family Christmas.
That's a great show, and it's so cool to see
Sesame
Street Muppets and Muppet Show Muppets and Fraggles in one crazy show. Yes.
And Jim Henson himself pops in to do the dishes.
Yes. Now, what is the ice-specific thing you're thinking of from this classic Christmas special?
Well, of course, Fozzie brings the whole gang home for the holidays in what is supposed to be a lovely surprise for his mom, who's not expecting any of them and doesn't have the house ready in a variety of ways. One of those ways is not having sanded or salted the icy patch at the door.
Right. Yeah. Everybody keeps slipping at the door, right?
Right. Everyone slips on that icy patch. It's a running gag through the entire special.
That's right. I remember that.
Well, I have to say that I am determined to get a t-shirt now that I found on TeePublic. And I'm going to get it in time for the holidays next year. It simply shows a stick figure wearing a Santa hat in one of those yellow caution diamonds. And the stick figure is slipping on some ice. And underneath it says, careful of the icy patch.
Get it. Hey, speaking of TeePublic, everybody, remember to visit the ESO Network TeePublic store. Get yourself some ESO merch, you know?
You can. It's great.
I am currently sipping my coffee from a But First Let's Talk Nerdy coffee mug from ESO Network's TeePublic store.
Good stuff.
Look how we seamlessly worked a plug into the middle of the list.
Oh, I set you up for that. I meant to do that.
You teed it right up. It happened so smoothly and naturally that no one even realized that they're getting the hard sell to go buy some ESO junk. Moving on, where are we? Number two?
Number two for you.
Number two for me. Let's see. Well, you know, I can stay on the subject of slipping on ice, as the Muppets did at Christmas time, because I was thinking of running on ice. Because it's been in my head the last few days since you suggested ice for our 4.5 list topic. Running on Ice is the opening song on Billy Joel's 1986 album, The Bridge.
Oh.
Not a well-known song. It was not a single. This is just an album track, but track one on Billy's Bridge record. And it's a fun little song. And this is one of Billy's songs, like, you know how Weird Al Yankovic does all his style parodies? He'll do a song, it's not a parody of a certain song, but it's a song that sounds like a specific band or singer or whatever.
Within the style of the artist.
Yeah, and Billy Joel actually has done a lot of that over the years. There are a lot of Billy Joel songs where you can tell, oh, he's doing this guy.
Yeah, it's like an homage.
Yeah, Billy does a lot of that. Like Uptown Girl. Everybody knows, of course, which is very clearly that's Billy doing Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Say Goodbye to Hollywood sounds like Ronnie Spector. You know, oh, man, the late, great, you know, we just lost Ronnie Spector, and the Ronettes. And there's a bunch like that. But Running on Ice, to me at least, very clearly sounds like this is Billy trying to sound like Sting and the Police.
Ooh.
And it doesn't really. Like, it's Billy Joel. It sounds like a goofy Billy Joel song. But the way his vocals sound are very, very much like Sting, especially Police-era Sting. But the song has also been in my head a lot this week, not just because of this list, but also because I have actually been doing a lot of running on ice this week.
Carefully, I hope.
I'm trying, you know, but I've been going out to do my running, even though it's the middle of winter and it's freezing cold. And my regular trail that I use has been relatively clear. But there are patches where suddenly it gets awfully icy and it's like, whoop, look out. So yeah, so far I have not gone crashing over like a Muppet.
I am so glad.
Somebody actually called out to me to be careful last time I was out there.
Oh.
This nice lady walking her dog that I see whenever I'm out there running like an idiot. Mm-hmm. And she says hi as we pass her and her dog. And this time she said hi and then she said, be careful.
Because clearly up until that moment you weren't.
And yeah, one of these days, this lady and her dog will just come upon me sprawled out on the ground, and hopefully she will notify the authorities. But meanwhile, let's all enjoy Billy Joel running on ice.
She's more likely to come upon you and say, I told you to be careful.
Yeah, she'll just start laughing and giving me backhanded compliments. Yes. You did a really good job running on this ice like an idiot for a few days there. Cornflake, number one.
The ultimate ice maker at number one for me, Kevin, Lucius Best.
What's that?
It's Frozone from The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah.
Voiced by Samuel L. Jackson, shooting ice out of his hands and sliding around on it. Frozone does not need an ice boat. He is an ice boat.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
He's also Mr. Incredible's best friend. Mm-hmm. Takes really good care of the family. I think he was the best man in Mr. Incredible's wedding. And he's awesome.
I would agree with that. In fact, I can match you ice superhero for ice superhero.
Really?
Because at number one, I have, well, usually she's just called Ice.
Oh.
There's a DC Comics superhero named Ice. She has a complicated history, this character. So the original version of this character was called Ice Maiden. And this was back in the 70s, the Super Friends comic book series. She was never on the Super Friends cartoon, back then, but shoot, there was a Super Friends comic in which they introduced a team called the Global Guardians, which was like a bunch of superheroes from all different countries from all over the world. And Ice Maiden was an ice-powered superhero, and she was from Norway. And then later on, they did a new version of this character called just simply Ice.
That's neat.
Yeah, this was in the 80s version of the Justice League. And they would kind of pair her off with Fire. There was a corresponding superhero from Brazil named Fire. In fact, there's a notorious TV pilot from 1997. They made a Justice League pilot, which was not good.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, I love it because, you know, I love all those ridiculous attempts at superhero shows from back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And Fire and Ice were both in the Justice League pilot.
How did it go wrong?
Oh, all sorts of ways.
No. Were there too many backhanded compliments in this script?
I could give this Justice League pilot so many backhanded compliments right now. Yes. But Fire and Ice were both part of the lineup. It was like Flash and Green Lantern and Atom. Martian Manhunter was in it, played by Winchester from MASH. It was a crazy show. The fun thing, though, about Ice in this version, in the JLA pilot from the 90s, is in this version, Ice was a meteorologist.
That's kind of neat.
You know, just like you.
Yeah. I see nothing wrong with that part.
And then suddenly she had special ice powers, and they've used her again and again over the years. And she was on the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, and she was on Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon as well, I believe. So she's around. I know I've got a picture somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find it. I met a fantastic ice costumer at Dragon Con several years ago. She looked really cool, really cute. I'll see if I can fish that photo out and we'll post it. But that's Ice Cornflake from the Justice League.
Very nice. Couple of great superheroes in the number one slot for our list.
Yes, but as you know, for a 4.5 list, the number one slot is not the top of the list. Now, Cornflake, what do you have at number 1/2?
Well, I had to pick my very favorite ice-related thing for 1/2. Nothing else would do. My very favorite ice-related thing is coffee cubes.
Here in Chickentown, we turn coffee into ice, yes.
Yeah, we do. And we put it in our iced coffee, which, despite it being absolutely freezing outside, I am drinking iced coffee now with ice cubes.
You're drinking iced coffee? Oh, I forgot how crazy you get with the iced coffee. I'm drinking hot coffee on this freezing cold morning. Look at you with your iced coffee.
And not only am I drinking iced coffee, I have under my keyboard and powered on right now one of those warming mats. So as I rest my arms on the desk near the computer, it's nice and warm. So I'm going to some pretty great lengths to keep warm. And yet, I've got to have that iced coffee. And I made special coffee cubes to go in the iced coffee for today's show. And I'll have to send you a picture. They look like tulips.
You have special cube trays that make tulip-shaped ice.
Yeah, I do. And it was your inspiration, Kevin, because
I taught you about coffee cubes.
You taught me.
We encourage all our listeners, stop watering down your iced coffee with regular water-based cubes. Make coffee cubes.
Mm.
As they melt, the coffee just becomes further coffified.
It's so good. Coffee cubes at 1/2.
I mean, you're the only one enjoying coffee cubes in January.
There's no stopping.
Here in the Northeast, at least. Well, top of my list anyway, 1/2. I'm still on ice-based comic book superheroes, Cornflake, because we had Ice at 1,
mm-hmm.
and we had Frozone at 1, but 1/2... Iceman.
Yeah, well, there are so many.
There's a bunch. I was also thinking of Golden Glider as a Flash villain, an ice skating supervillain.
I love that.
And she had ice would come shooting out of her ice skates. She could like skate around anywhere and just create her own ice out of her ice skates as she went. It was pretty ridiculous. But yeah, Iceman, of course. Now, Iceman was one of the original members of the X-Men.
Right.
Way back in the early 60s when the X-Men comic book first started. but I knew him first and best from the cartoon Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yes.
Where you got Spider-Man, you've got Firestar, and you've got Iceman. Iceman voiced by Frank Welker. And such a wonderful show. And yeah, I wasn't really a Marvel Comics reader, so I think that was where I first learned of Iceman, was from the cartoon. Such a great cartoon, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And Iceman, you know, much like Frozone, would just shoot out ice everywhere and just make those wonderful, like, ramps and paths, and, like, he could just glide around. So always super fun watching Iceman on Saturday morning. And I also looked up today, though, I had a vague recollection of a live-action version of Iceman. There have been live versions of Iceman in the movies when they did the X-Men movies, but from back then, from back in the Saturday morning cartoon era, and I looked it up today, in the 1982, 1983, one of those Saturday morning cartoon preview specials that they would do, like, Friday night to teach the kids about the new shows. One of them back then was formatted like an awards show. They called it the Yummy Awards.
Yummy Awards.
It was just, you know, a stupid excuse to make a cartoon preview show. But yeah, they were just giving out awards to all the cartoon characters. The awards looked like ice cream cones.
That's cute.
And it was Justine Bateman, you know, Mallory from Family Ties.
Of course.
Justine presented an award to Spider-Man from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And then they explain Spider-Man couldn't be here, but here to accept the award is Iceman and Firestar. And then live-action Iceman and Firestar came walking out to accept the Yummy Award. And Iceman just looked ridiculous, you know, because it's a guy in an Iceman costume standing there. It looks so funny and stupid. And then Firestar starts to speak, starts to give her acceptance speech. Then Spider-Man comes swinging in on a rope, and it's a big surprise. Spider-Man's actually there. But the great thing is that Iceman never says a word through the whole thing. Iceman is just standing there. You can look this up on YouTube and just watch this clip, and you should. It's really funny. But the Iceman costume just has this frozen face on the front of it. So Iceman, like, his mouth couldn't even move the way they made this costume. Oh. So it was for practical reasons, I think, that they thought,
logistics.
Yeah, let's let Firestar do all the talking because she has a regular human mouth, unlike this freaky Iceman costume that we built for $32.
That's beautiful.
But it's a great clip. If you want to see live action version of the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends version of Iceman, it's out there and it's terrific. Well, hey, Cornflake, there you go. There's your ice list.
Can we have some honorable mentions?
If it takes like 5 seconds, yes.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Golden Glider. So honorable mention was the inspiration for this list. I watched the TV show Fresh Off the Boat. I love it. There are recurring instances of ice skaters, including Nancy Kerrigan. I guess she plays herself on one of the episodes of the show.
I haven't seen Nancy Kerrigan anywhere since 1994.
Yeah, she popped up in 2018. She's doing a book signing on Fresh Off the Boat.
All right, that's the ice list. Let's wrap this up. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Yep, let's slide on out. We've got flopcast.net as our website, facebook.com/flopcast, Twitter, our handle is @flopcast, and Instagram, the_flopcast. All places you can find the Flopcast on the internet. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, where you could leave a rating and or a review for the show. That'd be sweet. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, here's a fun chart statistic. We had just 2 fewer top 40 hit songs in America than Ice House.
That's an interesting way to think of it.
We're just 2 hits behind them. So, you know, we're hanging in there.
Good, good.
There's a good backhanded compliment for both Sponge Awareness and Ice House. Cornflake, thanks for another fine, festive Flopcast. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us once again on this freezing cold morning here in Chickentown. And of course, everybody, please remember to be safe, be kind, be goofy. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and ice boats.
Hey, Dad. What's the Soul Forge podcast?
The Soul Forge podcast is all about life, the universe, and everything.
Is it good for kids?
Oh, no, it's not good for kids.
Is it geeky?
Oh, it can be geeky, but it can also be serious. We talk about life, sex, dating, and mental health, and so much more.
Where can you find a SoulForge podcast?
You can find it everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and the ESO Network.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
Join us weekly as we journey into DC's infinite frontier.
We discuss DC news, comics, television shows, movies, and more.
Earth Station DCU is part of the ESO Network. Check us out where fine podcasts are found.
Cornflake, welcome to the secret after show.
I have just enough iced coffee to get us through an after show.
But you know, I have enough hot coffee to keep going as well. So yeah, we can indeed do a quick coffee-fueled after show. Any other ice things or ideas or characters that you wanted to quickly get out a little honorable mention of for the secret people?
Yeah, I think the secret people will appreciate that we did not forget talking as much as we do about Rankin Bass about the Winter Warlock.
Oh, sure. Winter Warlock was certainly surrounded by ice. There's all those ice, winter, snow characters in Rankin Bass, though. You know, Father Winter, and in the Jack Frost cartoon, there's a whole bunch of them. There's Hailfellow and Snip and all those guys.
And he's known as Snow Miser, but he's pretty icy, right?
Sure, Snow Miser. Did you watch Year Without a Santa Claus this year?
I did.
Yes, of course.
Well, you know, I always try to shoehorn Enya into the top 4.5 robot list.
Yeah.
But I might be able to also shoehorn her into this top 4.5 list because she does, from the late 80s, she had an album called Fire and Ice.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, we could include Pat Benatar, also did Fire and Ice.
Oh, good point.
Throw Foreigner in there, too.
Cold as ice.
Everybody qualifies at this point. All right, we're done.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.